chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to address the subject of making decisions this morning. Making decisions this morning. From the life of Lot, we began a study on his life last Sunday. And I'd like for us to read this morning verses 10 to 13. And then we will pray and note some principles from Scripture that you and I need to bear in mind in making decisions for life. Note here in Genesis chapter 13, please, verses 10 to 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10 reads, "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord." Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, Verse 10. My mind is already on sermon mode. I ought to be just reading the scriptures. So, verse 10. "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we ask now that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit. O God, guide us into truth, we pray. Help us to live in obedience to your word. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Chapter 13 begins with God leading Abraham back into the land of promise. And the Bible teaches us, as we studied last Sunday, that Abraham's wealth compounded, and even Lot's wealth compounded. And as a result, the Bible teaches us there was strife between the those that cared for Lot's inheritance and Abraham's inheritance. There were difficulties between them. There was not enough room to accommodate the great wealth that these families had accumulated, especially from coming back from Egypt, where Pharaoh inherited another lot of great wealth there. So this led to strife, and yes, materialism does lead to strife. That's usually how it works. The more we have, the more of a headache it can become. And we find that there is strife between Lot's family and Lot's those that cared for Lot's wealth, and also there was strife with Abraham and those that cared for his wealth. And as I stressed last Sunday night in verse number 7, the mention of the word strife, very first time that it's mentioned in the Bible. And last Sunday night we noticed some principles concerning dealing with strife. And how do we deal with personal conflicts? Well, Abraham, being the man of God that he was — he certainly wasn't perfect by any form, but he was certainly a man of God — he said to Lot, "If you will choose the right, I will go to the left. If you choose the left, of the land, I will go to the right. With selflessness, Abraham gave his nephew Lot the opportunity. He said, we can't dwell together. We must separate. You choose where you want to go, and then I will go in the opposite direction. And Abraham, being a man of God, a man of faith, wanted a resolution to this problem. And spiritual people will always want a resolution to a personal conflict. That is a mark of spirituality. The devil comes to divide. The devil comes to kill and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come to give life and life eternal. And how, what a blessing it is for God's people to dwell in unity. So Abraham wisely understood that there is not enough room for our families and for our goods in this part of the land, so we need to separate. So Abraham said to Lot, Lot, you go ahead and you decide where you want to dwell. And I will assure you that I will move in the opposite direction. Lot had the privilege of making a decision. Lot had the privilege of making a decision. Abraham placed before Lot the opportunity, the privilege of making a decision. It is a privilege to have options. In considering the issue of making decisions, it is a privilege to have options. That is a part of making decisions. And it's important that we bear that in mind. It is a privilege to have options. Because there are people that do not have an option. Abraham gave Lot an option. That was a privilege. It certainly wasn't deserved. Abraham was Lot's uncle. And Abraham gives his nephew an option. What a privilege. So in making decisions, I believe that you and I need to be mindful, just as a way of introduction, that it is a privilege to have options available to you and I. That's important for us to bear that in mind in making decisions. But secondly, I'd like for you to note, as a way of introduction concerning making decisions, it is not only a privilege to have options, but secondly, it's important that we understand that there are always consequences for the decisions we make. There are always consequences for the decisions we make. We might have the privilege of making a decision, but bear in mind there are always consequences. And we'll see from the life of Lot that he paid dearly for the decision that he made. There are always consequences. And thirdly, I'd like for us to understand concerning making decisions is that our decisions will have some influence, effect upon others. The decisions you and I make will have some effect, some influence upon others. And we'll also see that fact within the life of Lot. It is not only a privilege to have options. There are always consequences for the decisions we make. But our decisions, the decisions we make, will have some effect upon others. No man is an island unto himself. Our decisions will affect somebody in some way. And last but not least, as a way of introduction, when it comes to the issue of making decisions, is that God will hold us accountable for the decisions we make. God will hold us accountable for the decisions we make. The Bible teaches us that every man and woman will stand before God and give an account of themselves. For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, the Bible teaches us that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My friend, this morning, all of us will give an account of the decisions we make. And the greatest issue in life today is what you and I will do with Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. What will you do with Jesus Christ? I'm encouraging you this morning, my friend, to make a decision about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the decision you make will have eternal consequences. He that has the Son has life. And my friend, you can have life by simply receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as Savior. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Oh, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I'm so thankful He was buried. And on day number 3, He arose from the dead, providing payment in full for you and I, that we might have the hope of eternal life. My friend, this morning, God will hold us accountable for the decisions we make. But what about, Pastor, if I don't make a decision? Well, that's making a decision. That's making a decision. God will hold us accountable for the decisions we make. And I trust and pray for you and for you this morning. I trust that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if you've yet to receive Him, then you are making a decision. And you will bear the consequences of that decision based upon the authority of the Word of God. See, God will hold us all accountable for the decisions we make. Our decisions will affect those around us. And there are always consequences for decisions. Not only is there accountability, there are consequences. We must never forget the fact that it's a privilege to have options. Well, here in Genesis chapter 13, I'd like for us to note some principles concerning making decisions from the life of Lot. Now, you might ask the question, what sort of an example was Lot? Well, not a very good example on how to make the right decisions. But we're going to try and learn from his mistakes. We're going to try and glean some principles from his life that led to his sad end. And I trust that God might, in the process, protect you and I, that we might learn from the mistake of another and make biblical decisions. The first principle I'd like for us to stress this morning concerning making decisions, I'd like for us to note in verse number 10 that upon Abraham giving Lot the option of where to inhabit, the Bible teaches us in verse number 10 once again, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord. So the Bible teaches us that upon Abraham giving Lot the option of where to live, the Bible teaches us that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the beauty of the land before him. And the principle I'd like for us to note first and foremost this morning is that Lot, in making this life-changing decision that would affect his family for eternity, Lot was sight-orientated. Lot was sight-orientated. He is not walking by faith. He was governed by what he saw. And the Bible teaches that for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. when Abraham gave Lot the option, Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked and he observed and he made his decision based upon what he could see with his naked eye. Are you making lifetime decisions based upon sight or faith in the Word of God? The Bible teaches us faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And in making decisions, let me encourage you, my friend, to make decisions based upon faith and not by sight. I'm afraid that many people today, including God's people, are making serious decisions based upon what they see and not by faith. The basis of faith is the Word of God. And God leads through His Word. God confirms His Word. God confirms His will within the pages of Scripture. And we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And in making decisions, I'd like to encourage you, my friend, to make your decisions not based upon sight as Lot did, but to do so by faith, faith in the guidance of the Word of God. Because God speaks through His Word. And it's upon the basis of the Word of God that God guides us. But here we find in verse number 10 that Lot lifted up his eyes and he noted the plain, the well-watered plains. He was governed by sight. But let me ask you this morning, is that decision you're making right now spiritually based? Or is it materially based? I'm afraid that many people today make decisions based upon sight, what they see. And God has nothing to do with it. Now where does God come in when you and I make our decisions? Or do we just slot Him in? And I'm afraid that many of God's people are making wrong decisions because they are making decisions based upon sight and not based upon faith. The just shall live by faith. The basis of our faith is the Word of God. And when I make reference to making decisions based upon faith, I'm referring to making decisions that God guides us through His Word, the basis of our faith. Not making decisions based upon sight, what I see. For example, I see an opportunity. I see a bargain. I am good at something. All of these are sight-motivated means of making decisions. But you and I as the people of God need to delight ourselves also in the Lord, and He will give us the desires of our heart. And I believe that the Word of God is a living Word. It's a lamp and a light for the child of God. And God will guide His people through the Word of God. God will provide guidance through the Word of God. And the problem with Lot was that he was sight-orientated. There is no mention of Lot walking by faith. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. Now, you young men, you be careful of making decisions based upon what you see. My Bible teaches me in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And you young men, you be very careful of being drawn into making a decision concerning a lifetime partner simply based on what you see on the outside. Because you might end up being like the Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold, as a piece of jewelry in a swine's snout, through the nose of a swine, so is a fair woman, a good-looking woman, a pretty woman, without discretion, without wisdom. That's what you'll end up having, a hog with a piece of jewelry stuck through its nose. When you've got somebody that looks good on the outside, but has the absence of wisdom. Lot lifted up his eyes. And young men, you be very careful in making lifetime decisions based upon what you see on the exterior. You need to look a little bit more deeper than that. Amen. Amen. In making decisions, let's be careful lest we are sight-orientated as opposed to walking by faith. That was the first mistake that Lot made. In fact, that's where most of us go wrong. Looks good. But secondly, I'd like you to note another principle here in verse number 10. Just follow the passage down. It makes reference to the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, even like the Garden of Eden. So Lot looked out and he thought, wow, this is beautiful. This is like the garden of the Lord. But note the next little phrase. Like the land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt. Not only was Lot sight orientated, Lot was also worldly minded. Because of the influence of Egypt in his life. And he looked and he beheld the beauty of the land, and that reminded him of the time he spent in Egypt with his uncle Abraham. He was worldly minded. He developed a taste for Egypt. He liked what he experienced. And we are not told how long Lot was in Egypt for, but it was long enough for him to develop a taste for Egypt, the world. And my Bible teaches me, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. It will pass away. Lot was not only sight-orientated, Lot was also worldly-minded. He was not spiritually-minded. In making a decision as to where to go, he looked and he beheld and he saw land that reminded him of Egypt. Egypt speaks of being outside of the will of God. That's where he shouldn't have been. But that's what it reminds him of. He was worldly minded. Now in making decisions, you and I need to be very careful lest we are sight orientated, and number two, lest we are worldly minded. What's your motivation in making the decision that you're about to make? What's your agenda? So we see here that Lot has an agenda. He wants this land because it reminds him of Egypt. He's not thinking spiritually. What's your agenda? What's your motivation in making that very decision that you are making right now? Colossians chapter 3, the Bible teaches us that we have to set our affections upon things above. And that's certainly not where Lot was. But thirdly this morning, I'd also like for us to note that not only was Lot sight-orientated, not only was he worldly-minded, but thirdly, he was covetous. Look at verse number 11, please. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. All the plain of Jordan. He was covetous. He was greedy. He chose all the plains of Jordan. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 verse 15, take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Beware of covetousness. And the Bible teaches us, as Lot had the opportunity to make a decision, greed took over. And he wanted all the land. All the plain of Jordan, the Bible teaches us. And my friend, for you and I, in making decisions, it's so very important that we ask the question, in making this decision, is this fulfilling a need or a want? I'm getting hot. Are you getting hot? Are you getting hot? I think we need to turn one of those off. I'm getting very hot. I want you to stay with me. Alright? I'm just warming up. If I'm warming up and they're warming you up, that's overkill. Listen, Lot said, I want all the plain of Jordan. He was covetous. He was greedy. He was selfish. This is nephew Lot saying to his uncle, Abraham, Uncle, I'd like to take all of this. How selfish. How greedy. And beloved, for you and I as the people of God, in making decisions, we need to beware of covetousness. There's a vast difference between a need and a want. And you and I need to ask the question in making this decision that I'm about to make, is it a need or is it a want? Am I simply being greedy? Or is this really the will of God? So he was covetous. And I believe that a lot of people in making decisions today are making wrong decisions because they're covetous. They're worldly minded. They're sight orientated. Are you still with me? We need to make right decisions. And some of us are in trouble this morning. Your life is in trouble because you have made decisions that are based upon sight and they are worldly and you've been covetous. That's why some of us are in trouble. The fourth principle I'd like for us to note, look at verse number 12. Concerning his positioning, the Bible teaches us, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and note this little phrase, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Lot was not only sight-orientated, he walked by sight, not by faith. Not only was he worldly-minded, like Egypt, as opposed to being spiritually-minded, and he was not only covetous, but also note in verse number 12 that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He wrongly positioned himself. Take a moment, please, and turn to the book of James. James in the New Testament. Quickly. James chapter 4, verse number 4. James chapter 4, verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, Lot was a friend of the world. That's why he pitched his tent with the onlooks of Sodom and Gomorrah. But look at chapter 2 of the book of James, verse number 23. Note the contrast. James 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the, what? Friend of God. The friend of God was Abraham. The friend of the world was Lot. What about you? See, Lot was wrongly positioned. And you and I need to ask the question, where am I positioning myself? In making such and such a decision, how does this position me? Where does this place me for the future? Because we know full well that Lot began by pitching his tent towards Sodom, and in time he became a resident in Sodom, and so did his family become residents in Sodom, and he paid dearly for that price, and it all began because he pitched his tent with Sodom in view. He wrongly positioned himself. And many of God's people are making wrong decisions today because they are wrongly positioning themselves. They have Sodom in view. He didn't have to point his tent towards Sodom. He could have pitched it the other direction. Why did he pitch his tent towards Sodom? He still had Egypt in his heart. That wicked, vile nature, the flesh, that is a part of your life and part of my life, will cause us to pitch our tent towards Sodom if we're not careful. He wrongly positioned himself. Where does that decision that you're making right now position you? How does it position you, for example, with the authorities in your life? How do they feel about the decision you're making right now? And where might this decision lead you to or from? He wrongly positioned himself. And I'm afraid that many of the decisions that we make, we do as Lot of old, we wrongly position ourselves. We're not really thinking about the future. If I pitch my tent with Sodom in view, where will this lead? And it certainly led Lot in a definite direction of destruction. Our positioning. And last but not least, note then verse number 13, that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot was not vigilant concerning the presence of evil. It was obviously known in that day that those that lived within the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked people. But Lot still chose to pitch his tent towards these cities. The wicked people. My friend, you and I as the people of God need to be aware, need to be alert, need to be on guard concerning evil. The Bible teaches us that we have to be vigilant because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In Ephesians 5:15, the Bible teaches us that we have to walk circumspectly. We live in a sin-cursed world. We need to be on guard spiritually. Now, even if Lot had genuinely no idea concerning the wickedness of Sodom, just say, hypothetically, he had absolutely no idea. Well, my question is, why did he point his tent towards Sodom? If he had no idea. Just say he had no idea that Sodom was wicked. It was a wicked city, full of wicked people. I would dare say he would have worked it out soon enough. So why didn't he reposition his tent? So he doesn't reposition his tent, he moves into Sodom. In fact, he joins the council. He becomes an administrator in the city of Sodom. Oh, beloved, the Bible teaches us that we need to be simple concerning evil. And that means simply we just need to be sober, we need to be alert, we need to be mindful that there is a devil who is out to kill and to destroy. And in making your decision, have you considered the dangers, the potential dangers ahead? The dangers to your spiritual growth. The dangers to your unspiritual influence, possibly. Have you considered the dangers of pointing your tent towards Sodom? And I'm afraid that many of God's people are not making wise decisions because they are not considering the dangers, the potential dangers ahead. We're almost gullible. Naive. Talk to me. Now let me pick on you young people once again. You be very careful who you choose as your lifetime partner. Because you might at this stage only see stars, but I'm telling you, you marry the wrong person, you will live your life in hell. Say amen. It's true. So you be very careful. It's a sobering thing to have a lifetime partner. You better make sure it's the right one. Otherwise, you'll be the most miserable person on this side of eternity. You'll join the miserable, vast volumes of Australians today that have broken homes, shattered lives. They didn't marry the right person. And in making decisions, you and I need to be mindful, what are the dangers that I need to consider? But the issue is, Moses, don't think about that. We get caught up in, wow, what a wonderful opportunity to take this job in the middle of Timbuktu, where there's no independent Baptist church, where the Bible's going to be taught. We're not thinking about that. We're just thinking about the pay packet. We're thinking about the company car. We're thinking about the company house. We're all wrapped up in this job opportunity in Timbuktu, but there's no Bible-believing church there. And how many people I've seen that have left a good independent Baptist church, have moved elsewhere where there's no church, only to be a casualty. And to no longer be in church. Take note of the dangers. Are we still friends? I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. We need to learn from Lot's mistakes. And I dare say there are some of us here this morning that if you had the opportunity, you'd stand up and say, Pastor, I didn't learn from Lot's mistakes. I've made those mistakes. And my hope and prayer is for the next generation, for those from here on, that we will not fall into the trap of Lot of old. So in making decisions, let me summarise by saying, be careful lest you and I are sight orientated. We're to walk by faith. We need to be careful lest we are worldly minded. Note, just ask yourself, what's my motivation? Am I worldly minded? Remember Lot? Egypt. Thirdly, Lot was covetous. Am I being covetous? Am I being greedy? All the plains of Jordan he wanted. How greedy. How selfish. The number four, Lot wrongly positioned himself. He pitched his tent with Sodom in view. And last but not least, Lot was guilty of not considering. If I pitch my tent with Sodom in view, what are the potential dangers? What are the potential dangers? And with that decision you're about to make, my friend, let me encourage you, ask yourself the question, what are the potential dangers? I'm a pastor, don't be so negative. Listen, I'm trying to help you this morning. Lot didn't consider the dangers. And if it's the will of God, it's the will of God. At least you need to be mindful of potential dangers and you better make sure you're making the right decision. Making decisions. It's a privilege to have options. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to make decisions. But may God help us all, to make decisions based upon faith, to be spiritually minded, to be selfless and not covetous, to note how we're placing ourselves positionally and be aware of the dangers. Five principles, free of charge this morning, from the Word of God, they'll help us all to make the right kind of decisions. Lot made a bad decision. And we will see in the weeks and months ahead that he paid very dearly for the decision he made. One decision. One decision Lot makes ruins his life, ruins his family. One decision. The power of one decision. But thank God we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. And as we walk by faith, spend time in the Word of God, God will guide us through His Word. May God help us to make the right decisions. And all of God's people said, let's stand.